everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and the G-Man and I have been babbling here for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes without realizing we weren't live. Go figure. We are live now, and thank you for tuning in. My name is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up, your source for conservative talk, and we got a heck of a show for you tonight. Clinton, Soros, Clapper. They're all tied to the Russia hoax deceptions. We have updated information on that, and most of you probably already know we are referring to the Durham Annex that was sent to Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley had been asking for this for years and finally got it, and it's explosive. It's explosive. I just heard a podcast the other night. In fact, it was about 3 podcasts, because I listen to podcasts, multiple podcasts every day. And they're talking about nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Another one was like, you know, we can't keep going back to the past. We got to start looking into the future. And then one podcast even said, well, the Mueller report discounts all this. This was, I mean, just let me drool a little bit. And that was Mueller. That was Robert Mueller. It was an embarrassment and a disgrace. That man, because dementia, it was obviously starting to set in. And the disgrace and embarrassment is to his family who let him continue working. And how do we know that? When he went to Congress. You know, hey, Robert, how are you doing? Robert. Oh, am I Robert? That's pretty much what you got out of him, which means other people were doing the Mueller report. And they found nothing. And that was in the Mueller report. But when you have the FBI, we have all the intel organizations working on something like this, they were able to muddle it up. But it still came out there was nothing to see in terms of Trump and collusion in there. And that was disproven. So I just look at people. I'm like, really? Really? And then I spoke to a friend the other night, just actually this morning. And I'm actually in some Facebook Latino and black groups. And I say, no, man, they all support Trump in there. He goes, well, you know, not everybody's smart and intelligent enough. And this guy is as pasty white as, I mean, this guy makes a Pillsbury Doughboy look mulatto. You know, this is how I'm like, there's that white superiority. He's so smart. Us dumb Latinos and blacks don't know any better. So everybody's using every excuse in the damn book to throw this under the rug or sweep it under the rug. But this is explosive stuff, and we could see some indictments coming out of here. So we're talking about accountability for one of America's biggest political scandals. Then we're going to go on to hot takes. We've got where G and I hit up a bunch of stories here in quick format. Are you guys aware 13,000 kids have been rescued by the Trump administration so far? You should be, but you're not, because every damn MAGA influencer who I follow and support, but they're so keen on getting their checks from X with engagement clicks, all they care about is Epstein. Epstein has gone the way of the conspiracy theory. I mean, just the other day, Virginia Guffrey, you know, what she say about Trump, blah, blah, blah. And they're all starting and making stuff up. And then somebody posts, here's what she said in a deposition from years ago. You know? It's like, come on, people. And then we're going to talk about Elon Musk. If you guys remember, rest in peace to the great Hulk Hogan. Peter Thiel funded his lawsuit against Gawker that took Gawker out, deservedly so. Looks like Elon Musk could be doing the same thing with Media Matters. Then we're going to talk about our least favorite Californian here. We're going to talk about, you know, I don't know where she's from today, but on the campaign trail, she was from urban Chicago. She was from the barrio. She was from, hey, man, Jamaica. Yes, the one and only Kamala Harris says no to a California governor run. We're going to talk about that. And then the unexpected but expected jobs report. It was shocking because everything's going so well. But as G and I have talked over and over, this could happen. So while it's unexpected, when you take that step back, you see it is expected. But then when you look at the job losses versus the job gains, I'm okay with it right now, but I do want to see the numbers get better. Then, will NPR and PBS shut down? Not quite. We'll talk about that. Then go woke and go broke and a few other stories. But before I bring the G-Man on, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, let me bring the G-Man on. How you doing?
Hey there.
It's like deja vu, isn't it?
I know. We're doing this again. At least we caught it the pretty early on. But we got a lot to talk about. I'm not sure whether we call this Obamagate or Russiagate, Clintongate, but this is a big story. Just hope the mainstream media would pick up on it.
Yeah, you know, some have. And indirectly today, the New York Times or yesterday put a piece by Brennan and Clapper, I want to say, where they were saying nothing to see here or this is wrong or this, that. And I was listening to somebody and their lawyer, and they said this has so many holes, their piece that they wrote. And another lawyer, Shipwreck, I can't remember his name, phenomenal, former federal prosecutor, he says, I've seen items like this before. This is done when people are scared, you know, and the information that's coming out. Well, let's get right into it. So right now we have newly declassified documents and whistleblower accounts reveal Hillary Clinton's campaign. Soros Associates and James Clapper's team concocted the Trump-Russia collusion hoax to undermine this 2016 victory. And then the FBI did have a failure in terms of they did not investigate. And then there were threats to silence the analysts who said, whoa, bro, we can't be running with that boss. Do you value your career? Do you value promotion? Doesn't matter. We can't run with that. And they were replaced. Gee, your quick thoughts before we get into some of the key points here.
No, I mean, that just shows the CIA needs to be disbanded. And it was going to be disbanded after World War II. But J. Edgar Hoover, I guess, was also pushing for that, but I believe it was Eisenhower who kept the CIA around, or maybe it was Truman, but that should have been disbanded a long time ago because all they were focused on was nation building, and now they're trying to build our nation for the Democrats. It's just terrible.
Oh, it is. It's terrible, most definitely terrible, and I think we're looking at a scenario where this won't blow over, but we're not going to see any type of drastic action. I think somebody's going to fall for this in terms of somebody's going to go down, and deservedly so. But we're still at the beginning stages. And so for the record here, on July 31st, just a day ago, the Department of Justice and CIA sent declassified Durham report documents to Senator Chuck Grassley, who had been asking for this for years. And it included an appendix. You're going to hear the term annex a lot. And annex is just another term for an appendix. And it laid out the Clinton campaign's plan to falsely tie Trump to Russia. And she was doing this before the election to deflect off her email scandal. FBI Director Kash Patel said that day these papers show Clinton's plot to frame Trump. And there's more declassified documents coming. Now, you guys are saying, whoa, William, that's some heavy stuff there. Gee, 1,200 pages of evidence. It wasn't like you opened the door and there's this library. They found him stuffed in burn bags. Now, for the audience who may not know what a burn bag is, burn bags were created or came after the USS Pueblo incident in Korea when the Koreans took down our spook ship and got tons of classified material, and shredding doesn't work. So burn bags, so you burn. And a little inside baseball here, burning material is not like in the movies, push and push. And it's all gone. It takes a while to burn everything. So they found all this stuff in burn bags meant for destruction. You know, this is a window into a massive scandal. Your thoughts, G?
Well, the more people that are involved, right, you're going to have issues with keeping things secret. So I believe a lot of these in what we would call the deep state trying to cover their butts, right? They're trying to say, well, I better have some documentation, because if someone else leaks this information that this hoax was going on, I need to make sure that people know that I spoke up against this, right? Or I kept a record of who was really calling the shots. And I think that's where it's going to end up is, okay, I'm just following orders, right? Remember World War II? I was just following orders, and they want to point up towards the top, which I know you're going to go into next.
Right. That's like Jeffrey Kaufman. That was just pulling orders. So
that's right.
Who was pulling the strings? Let's start with the main person here, G, and that is Clinton, I believe. So the Durham Annex confirmed that the FBI worked with Clinton to legitimize Russiagate. They ignoring that the Steele dossier was her campaign's paid opposition research. And the DNC confirmed the Russian hack of its servers in June of 2016, but the Clinton campaign's plan per a July 26, 2016 email was to falsely link Trump to this hack to distract her from her email scandal. Okay, documents show Obama, Brennan, and Comey knew by July 26, 2016 about Clinton's plan, and despite this, despite knowing this is concocted, they launched Crossfire Hurricane on July 31st based off the unverified dossier that we now know they knew was fake. Clinton, Podesta, and Jake Sullivan in interviews with Durham called the campaign plan allegations ridiculous, but the appendix's emails and intelligence now that we see them, they actually confirmed the plan. Your thoughts on that, G?
I'm not surprised by it. What I am surprised is why Hillary Clinton thought that Trump was such a threat, right? But if you remember back then, that during the primaries, they thought, okay, if Trump wins the nomination, it's going to be an easy win. But you see here that by July 2016, I mean, she was really scared about this, right? Maybe the DNC hack is what caused that fear, right? Because now all the internal communications is leaked out there, and they, you know, then Hillary knows what's being said in there. So I'm not surprised that Hillary did this.
Before that, let me interject that the email. Remember the emails that's all that was in the news was emails, 30,000 emails, all that.
Right.
That's what her fear was. She did not want that to derail. For whatever you want to say about the Clintons, you got to give them credit. They're very calculating.
Right. And there's two sets of emails, right? There's the emails of Hillary that were hacked, but then the DNC emails that were also hacked, right? And that's the first set. And then the second one is Hillary had the email server at home where she had her own private email carrying on classified information. So, but going back to what I was saying about Putin had done some research on the two candidates, and it's now shown that he didn't prefer one or the other, despite Obama and Hillary's claim that Putin supported Trump. He didn't support either one. And in fact, he had information on Hillary that she was neurotic, she was controlling, she had anger management issues. And if he wanted to sink Hillary's campaign, he would have leaked that information, but he didn't. So I think that's a key part of this whole thing as well.
Right. Now, in regards, we're going to find out about the hacks. They weren't hacked. That's what's starting to come out. You know, remember, CloudStrike said, no, we've been hacked. Well, we need some proof. And I remember this because I was like, why won't they allow the FBI to check the servers? CloudStrike said, no, we've been hacked, and it was the Russians. And FBI came in initially and said, hey, well, we need to check servers. No, you can't do that. But trust us, it was CloudStrike. And then the FBI backed off. And I remember, I was like, whoa. You can't just take their word. You know, it's a convenient excuse. And we're hacked, you know, and they did. And that was confirmed. All we could do at the time was speculate, and it was confirmed. But it was all calculated, what they did to set Trump up. But who else was involved? That infamous name, George Soros. So the Appendix G details in early 2016, there were email exchanges between the DNC chair at the time, Ms. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That's such a World War II brown shirt name. You know, my name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Get off the train and walk over there. So Wasserman Schultz and Soros Open Society Foundation's members, Leonard Bernardo and Jeffrey Goldstein. They're the key players here. Not Schultz, but Bernardo in terms of planning to link Trump to Russia. So Bernardo's July 26, 2016 email, it said Clinton approved smearing Trump. Let me repeat that. Clinton approved smearing Trump with Russian hacking claims to shift focus from her emails. And then she predicted in those emails the FBI would, quote, put more oil into the fire. So the FBI received Bernardo's email and related correspondence and assessed as likely authentic in July 2016, but failed to investigate their veracity per the Durham Appendix. So Bernardo denied drafting the emails, but admitted the phrase, quote, "Things are ghastly for U.S.-Russian relations," unquote, sounded like him. Gee, does that sound like somebody who's going, "That's not me, but okay, yeah, I know how you can think that. It does sound like me, but it's not me. I'm thinking Sergeant Schultz here. Remember Schultz from Hogan's Heroes? I see nothing, I hear nothing, I do nothing," or whatever it was. So Clinton, Podesta, and Jake Sullivan in the Durham interviews called the campaign plan allegations ridiculous. But the appendix's emails and other intel confirm the plan's existence. Your thoughts on this? Oh, and I'm sorry, real quick to clarify for the audience. When I say the FBI blew it off, they didn't believe it. They're like, nah, they're not going to be doing that. That's just nonsense. So that's what they blew off. Go ahead, G.
No, I mean, for the FBI to say that they wouldn't believe it is ridiculous. Of course, campaigns are going to play dirty tricks. And I think, believe Hillary, the dirtiest of them all, I mean, they just have a track record of that, right? So I can see Hillary being so neurotic about losing this election, she will go to any length to smear Trump. And you know, she ordered the Steele dossier just a couple months after this, right? So, and we all know that that was manufactured information as well. So I absolutely believe that Bernardo's email was correct and authentic, and Hillary ordered this thing.
Right. Okay. Now, fair enough. Any thoughts, though, in the fact that we're seeing movie stuff type? Okay, and real quick to the audience, I don't know if I said it in my opening, if I did, cut me off, G, but I've had conversations with my libertarian partner, with G, with other conservatives, and we've talked about history and how the CIA has messed with other governments. And my take has always been, well, then why are you in such denial with TDS that it's not happening here? You know, it's as the world expands, as these outfits grow in power and get bigger, and they get away with more and more, it was only a matter of time before the powers that be would sit there and start messing with our elections. That's where I am with libertarians and conservatives, you know, who want smaller government. See, because we're actually fighting real battles, we don't always talk about how we want smaller government, less taxes, but that's a given in a conservative Bible. You know, since we're in power, we could talk about policy. But so we align with the libertarians there. And the Patriot Act, which I will give the libertarians credit, they were the first ones from day one. No, we can't have this. And I'm like, well, 9/11, okay. Now, I'm like, no, we can't have that. Got to get rid of it. It's the only thing Rand Paul's been useful for while he's been in Congress. I mean, the man doesn't even represent well. Got beat up in his front yard. Come on, man. You know? So let's talk about the transition. So this points to a bigger cover-up, G. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. My point to finish up is that this stuff is happening here, and that's what these emails are showing. So this points to a bigger cover-up. So let's look at Clapper, when somebody sits there and dissented. So in July 31st, Gabbard released the whistleblower's account. The whistleblower's account showing how the Russia hoax undermined Trump's 2016 victory. So there's notes from March 31st, 2023 that describe a January 2017 conversation where a top ODNI, boy, that sounds like a spy in the game, a video game, a top ODNI, that's called the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. An ODNI analyst was pressured by one of Clapper's goons to back the 2017 ICA's false claim that Putin aimed to help Trump win. To reiterate to the audience from last week, the 2017 ICA, which is the Intelligence Community Assessment, that is the one that Obama was going to be briefed. There's nothing to see here. And Obama immediately was like, no, we need to do this. So a false ICA, for lack of a better word, or a rigged one, or one that was set up to implicate Trump, was created. And this is what this is referring to. One of Clapper's goons pressured an analyst at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to back that. He goes, I need you to back this. This is critical. And the superior said, quote, there is reporting you are not allowed to see, unquote, implying there's bad juju, but you can't see it. And he pressed an analyst to abandon, get this, he pressed them to abandon ethical objections for a promotion, demanding he convince the Defense Intelligence Agency to support the ICA's judgment. The analyst, God bless this guy, he's a true American hero. He said, no, I cannot do that. I'm just making up accents. He could have been, golly gee whiz, buddy, I can't do that. You know, who knows? I'm pulling my Kamala. You know? So the analyst reviewed and he cited Intel community standards. He said from last week, the combined this week, he's like, this doesn't follow protocol. It's unverified. There's nothing here. And that led to the DIA to withhold approval from the ICA's final non-compartmented version. Now, the analyst is now a whistleblower. Guess what happened then, G? You don't cross the line.
Fired.
He was ignored. He was technically not fired, but he was no longer up. Yeah, exactly. Your thoughts. See, to me, that's the spy stuff. That's the abuse of power. Yeah. To me, if I'm this whistleblower, and I hope it can happen, he gets a lawyer, comes out and sues.
So here's what happens. If someone higher up says this is what you will do, you've automatically got to accept the idea that you will be the fall guy, right? You will be the patsy. And so they'll say, well, I'm just reporting what the guy under me gave me, and my conclusion is only as good as my intelligence. And so that's what this whistleblower realized. Okay, I'm going to be set up to be the one taking the hit for this, that this was made up. I knew it, and I concocted the story. And he knew, or maybe it's a she, knew better than that and said, no way. I'd rather, I don't know, maybe making coffee for the rest of the office. I don't know what role they were moved into, but they would rather accept that and be honest. And look, like the deep state, we talk a lot about the deep state. The deep state is not everybody, right? It's the ones who have enough power to move the levers to say, okay, no, this is what we're going to say as a team. This is the kind of information that we're going to report upwards. Right. And this all started December 9th, 2016, in the Oval Office. We can trace back. Everything went from, no, there's no evidence that Trump worked with Russia or that Russia hacked the election, to after that meeting, that's all nonstop for about 4 years after that.
Exactly. So obviously this pressure shaped the ICA. So let's see how the ICA, once again, the intelligence community assessment ordered by Obama, claimed Putin aspired. I aspire to help the Trumpster because we're so close.
Hopes, dreams, and aspirations.
Exactly. So Obama claimed Putin aspired to help Trump, and that was briefed on January 5th by Capper. By Capper. I'm sure some conservatives think Capper, but it's short in version. By Clapper, Brennan, and Comey. Emails from Gabbard show the top ODNI analyst was shocked the ICA used a Steele dossier, as the versions they reviewed contained no Clinton-funded research. So Gabbard's earlier release showed that the analyst was tasked with reviewing the ICA, but never saw versions with the dossier. Yet unverified claims remained in the final report per DNI records. So I wrote that nice and simple. What this boils down to, people, in intelligence terms here, his job was to sanitize the document, making sure it was legit. The information could be backed up. All that was there. What he sanitized and what the final report was night and day. And that's where the fix comes in. Your thoughts on the fact, G, that people are like, well, aren't there safeguards in place to stop this? Well, you can't have a safeguard when it's a top echelon who are the final ones to see the report changing it, twisting it, and lying to the American people.
No, it goes right back to that December 9th, 2016 meeting, right? You got the people at the top saying, oh, wait a minute, evidence that Russia didn't meddle in the election? Well, there's maybe evidence that Russia colluded with Trump, right? Or Putin colluded with Trump. And here's our evidence. It's the Steele dossier, which basically said, oh, Trump met with hookers and golden showers. I'm not going to go into detail what that is, but you can assume what that is. Even that doesn't even have any evidence of like collusion. It just says, okay, well, and it was proven to be fake. And you can see the underlings going, wait, are you serious? We already know this is BS. Unproven and debunked. So, but what are you going to do when the guy said, well, I just came back from an Oval Office meeting. This is what we're going with, right?
Exactly.
Or some hint to that effect.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, this – I don't know. Well, let's just keep going here. So the flawed report fueled the hoax. This is the report that one of the reports – and there's going to be more declassified material coming that fueled the hoax. So why didn't the FBI stop it? Spoiler alert, James Comey. Yeah. So let's take a look at their failures. The Durham appendix shows the FBI under Comey dismissed Dutch intelligence. So those Dutch people took their finger out of the plug and said, Senor American, we got some information for you. I don't know how the Dutch speak. It's my accent. That's my Dutch accent. You know? So they gave intel.
That sounds more Spanish.
Yeah. They said, Senora Clinton is planning some bad things here. You know? And sure enough, now these same people provided other reports that these intel services did listen to. But they chose to ignore this. Senor Clinton's going to do some bad things. She's going to link Trump to Russia. And they said, this is, you know, we're giving this to you. They came back. The FBI said, no, that's not credible. Not Senora Clinton. She's my God. You know, they refused to believe that Clinton was doing that. Our producer, those Dutch sound Mexican. But so the Dutch, so they had solid intel, and now there's some talk, well, was it done in Russia? Could it have been misinterpreted? How did they receive it? They received a couple of Russian versions of it, and but they said, hey, she's got bad things planned. She's gonna link Trump to this, and the Russians know they're gonna do that too. And Comey and company said, no, we don't believe that. That's nonsense. So he chose to go with Clinton. And on March 31st, 2016, FBI's Andrew McCabe shared this intel with DOJ officials, and no action was followed. And my point for saying that is they saw it, they talked about it, and they said, nothing to see here. And I say that, I'm sorry, I speak of Andrew McCabe because he's TDS. He is one of the poster childs for TDS. So instead of doing his job, he went along with the frame job. So I got to apologize to those out there with TDS, because there's King TDS right there. That is somebody who hated Trump so badly, he was willing to betray America for the Clintons and to bring Trump down. Because McCabe is the one, while Trump was president, opened up an investigation on him saying potential Russian agent, knowing that this was all a lie. So that, and then on top of that, the FBI used the unverified Steele dossier, and that's what G was referring to in terms of the golden showers, you know, where that came from, and to spy on Trump aide Carter Page. And guys, I always tell my partner, Big John, you gotta look for the red flags. Not that he doesn't, but when we talk, I said, I look for the red flags. The fact that Kevin Kleinsmith, may he live in, or live in infamy, is a lawyer that pled guilty in 2020 to falsifying an email to hide Page's CIA ties per Durham's findings. Meaning, had the judge known that, he would say, you don't have a warrant to spy on him. You know, he works for the CIA. He's cleared. He lied so they could fabricate this story and use Page and Papadopoulos later on as fall guys to keep pushing this along. And the whistleblower's concerns about the hoax raised the Inspector General Durham and Senator Mark Warner were ignored until 2023. And Mark Warner is a Democrat senator who had oversight role. He should be impeached. He was a key Senate Intel Committee member, ignored the whistleblower's concerns about the Clinton plan until 2023, suggesting the failure to pursue credible allegations. Gee, thoughts?
No, they all were in this echo chamber, right? And they're all believing each other's stretching of the truth or lies, outright lies. That, remember, Trump kept saying that Obama wiretapped me?
Yes.
And actually, that's he tried to obtain FISA warrants to wiretap Trump. But since he couldn't get those and the judge denied him, he wiretapped the other side of that, right? He wiretapped the people that he was calling to try to figure out, okay, is Trump colluding with Russia based on lies, right? And
exactly.
They didn't have any evidence in the end, but Trump kept saying they wiretapped me. What did the media report whenever Trump would say that? Trump falsely claims or Trump without evidence. And it seems like I've said in the past, every news story, if you put Trump, either says you need to add either falsely claims or without evidence. And they never did that for Obama. They never did that for Clinton. They never did that for Biden. But whenever Trump would talk about the wiretaps, it turns out it wasn't falsely claimed, correctly right. claimed. And maybe it wasn't Trump directly, but it was the other side of it. And they attempted to get FISA warrants on Trump directly.
Exactly. And let's not forget the greatest source the New York Times has used. This man or woman will live in infamy. And that source's name is Anonymous. Anonymous sources are telling us Trump is guilty. And at the very bottom of the article, well, he's really not guilty yet. But we expect those facts to be proven down the road. And I'm not exaggerating, people. I'm being sarcastic as I say it. But that is literally. That's why when I look at these people with TDS, I'm like, you're referencing crap that's been not only disproven, but was shaky from the start. You know? Let's keep moving here. So the inaction, what does inaction do to a rumor or conspiracy? When nothing's done, it just grows and grows and grows. And that's what was happening here. But it was growing towards assumptions of what is real, what is not. So these documents, the broader implications and ongoing accountability. So these documents show Clinton, Soros associates, and Obama officials coordinated to prolong the Russia hoax. Their goal was to literally destroy Trump's presidency so he couldn't move or stop. He couldn't move forward with what he wanted to do, nor could he stop their agenda. He could only slow it down. And it was brilliantly done. And it started with that moron Jeff Sessions. To be quite frank. Anyway, attorney Pam Bondi stressed the Justice Department's commitment to transparency, and that is transparent. Everybody, whether you're a Democrat who wants to see a good government or a conservative or libertarian who wants smaller government, at the end of the day, this is what I always tell my partner. I tell everybody, look, I lean conservative. I want things to always be good for conservatives. But by God, if it's not, then put them in jail too. So Grassley tweeted his oversight forced the annexes release, which is true. Thank Bondi and Patel. And we will find out. Gee, final thoughts before we close this out.
Well, Grassley called this one of the biggest political scandals and cover-ups in American history, which you have to basically compare that to Watergate, right? What was Watergate? It was a break-in to the DNC headquarters to obtain any type of intelligence to help sway the election in Nixon's favor, which he won by a landslide. I mean, it was
yeah, he didn't need it.
It was decisive. I don't know, and we all know Nixon was also neurotic. I mean, he's like the male version of Hillary Clinton. So I agree. This is one of the biggest explosive scandals in American history, and we talk about ruining Trump's first term, right? But remember, this all started before the election. They were trying to destroy his candidacy first and then realize, well, look, we got mileage on this fake stuff. Let's basically troll it out after the election. And it's true. They didn't ruin Trump's presidency. He got a ton done during that time, but it really hampered him. And he could have done a lot more, I believe, and been more successful if this hadn't been trotted out. And I had Democrat friends who were believing this hook, line, and sinker. And in 2020, when I said, look, the House Intelligence said that there's no evidence of anything, they basically said, well, I never claimed that I knew everything. And right. They basically like slinked away saying, well, we just got to defeat Trump right now.
Exactly.
So they're never going to admit, yeah, I was wrong because we were lied to by the top.
Well, for me, these revelations, they demand some immediate accountability. As I've told my friends, as I said earlier, we know our intel agencies mess with other governments. My country, Panama, was directly the dictatorships came into power because of military intelligence that CIA eventually took over. My country was created because of the United States. So if y'all think that this stuff doesn't happen here, you're idiots. And I do mean that. And God bless you anyway, but you're idiots. This stuff, as we're seeing now, is happening here. And why? It's for control. They want to control us. You know, we all want structure, but we want to live our lives. The Constitution is a special document, and they would see it subverted for their own gain. And I think Hillary Clinton will eventually be forgotten as candidates who never became president and hold various offices. She'll be forgotten, but I think when she studied, she'll be studied as one of the most vile, most ruthless, most infamous people to go down in modern political history. Gee, we got about 15 minutes left here. Let's go through some of these takes here pretty quick. So first take here, this is our hot takes, our lightning round. The Trump admin rescues 13,000 missing migrant kids after Biden lost track of 320. He's rescued that many since he took office. My issue is the MAGA and the Epstein, which it's not that I don't want the Epstein case covered, because real quick for everybody out there, for you Democrats, for you Green Party, for you Libertarians, for you mainstream media, it's MAGA that brought Epstein back up, that has kept Epstein alive. Now y'all think you're going to be able to use it to take Trump out? You're idiots. You're idiots. Idiots. I have got to bring that. And it's the MAGA influencers. My issue here, G, is the MAGA influencers care more about engagement, more about sounding righteous and pious. And they don't even talk about the fact there's 13,000 and there's 320,000 missing kids, that we can actually have a good chance of rescuing many of them through these ICE raids. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, my heart is that most of these 320,000 kids are just fine and they're just in school, and they're just untracked because the parents don't want them to be found, right? But the scary truth is a lot of them are being trafficked for labor. I mean, Newsom admitted it. ICE is raiding these pot fields and taking children away. Well, what are they doing on the pot fields? They're harvesting pot. And we talked about this last week. If we don't have the illegal immigrants here, who will pick the pot? Who will pick the vegetables, right? That's what a lot of Democrats are saying. We don't need them to do that. This is child labor, child trafficking. I hope Trump can rescue more and set them free from basically these sponsors who are using them for abuse or criminal activity.
Right, I agree. All right, Trump's tariffs sparked 3% GDP surge and trade surplus. Gee, talk to me a little bit about this. What's the good? What's the positives out of this?
Yeah, so the GDP has grown by 3% in Q2 2025. And, you know, if you look at the tariffs, they've been averaging basically this past month about 18.2%. And that's across all countries. China had 30%, but what that has done basically is reduce the imports by $100 billion from China alone. That's just China. So, I mean, that's not talking about all the other countries. But what that does is it adds to the GDP, right? And so this is what a lot of critics of this GDP growth numbers are saying, is when you subtract imports out, that actually makes GDP go up, because imports is you spending money and the money goes out. But exports is you making products and the money comes in because you're selling them. So we did generate $108 billion in tariff revenue through Q3. So what do I think about this? I think the GDP surge is a good thing. That means we're exporting more. Investments are coming in from other countries. We just secured a huge investment promise from the EU this past weekend. But this is going to be choppy. It's going to be choppy. The critics do have it right. When you exclude imports from that number, you're going to get a higher GDP number.
Right.
But just think about the GDP numbers with all the imports that we've done in the last, 4 years. I mean, the GDP that's just the calculation
right.
You make every time.
Right. So here's what I would say to that. Now, the critics are saying it's illusory, I always mispronounce, because of the import reductions, as G said, and it's inflating the formula. But it's overlooking some of the real gains from domestic production surges that have gone up. And we have also shifted some supply chains to allies like Vietnam that now has a deal and has already started ramping up their factories. Not building new factories, they're ramping up their current factories. Now, India just got slapped today this week, but they were doing the same thing. Products had been shifted there. For example, Apple, hey, we're going to produce more here with the factories, or not Apple, but some of the other countries or companies that have factories there. They're ramping those up. And we have stable 2.7% inflation, which is disproving the predicted spikes. don't hate me, buddy. And I won't say your name, but I remember somebody on Liberation Day. I was trying to get a hold of them. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm watching my 401k just crash here. You know, gee, how are those 401ks doing today?
All-time highs. All-time, exactly. I think we're just one day away from an all-time high. It went down today.
And my point is this, that you can't look at things statically. You got to let this play out. So this, to me, I'm okay with this. And we achieved a $26 billion trade surplus in June, the first in many, many years. So disproving the economists. And there were like 50 of the top economists that got this liberation and these tariffs like flat out wrong. All right. Gee, talk to me about the jobs, Bob. The jobs report came out. It was unexpected, but expected. You and I have sat there and talked about this, this is going to go up and down before we see it all the way through. Now, this is fodder for the left and for TDSers. They're jumping on this like flies on a turd.
Yeah, I mean, so it was a weak jobs report. We had 73,000 added jobs in the last month. We expected around 110,000. So, and the revisions in May were slashed by 19,000, and in June, revisions slashed May to 19,000 and June to 14,000. So it was a weak jobs report, but let's look at this. We're undergoing a transition, right? And Trump's tariffs are not, I mean, it's kind of making the seas a little choppy. So a lot of employers are wondering where we're going with the economy, and that's right. going to be normal until we have all these trade deals secured. And I think we'll take off like a rocket ship after that. But what I will say is that even with the massive downward revisions, native-born Americans hit record employment a year over year. And it's a very big number. It's surged about 2 million jobs year over year to 133 million. So that's 1.8 million jobs over the pre-pandemic number. So that's very good news. But then we're also losing a lot of people who are being deported who shouldn't have been here. And so where are those jobs going to go to? They're going to go to Americans. And the left is going to say, like we've heard Kelly Osborne say, well, who will clean my toilet or whatever? But Americans are willing to do jobs if they're out there, right?
And it's just wages,
a matter
right.
of getting enough pay for it. But we are also undergoing a very transformative time in our economy where AI can do a lot of these jobs and it's going to help companies be more efficient with less labor. So
right.
it remains to be seen if there is a recession, a jobs recession, and it's not going to be because of the tariffs. It's going to be because of AI. I firmly believe that. And
gotcha.
that's going to be going on for the next 10, 20 years.
Well, my take is this. Look, just like in an airplane, when something's happening and the stewardess or steward sits there and says, when that oxygen mask drops, put it on your face first. Because if you don't, you may not be alive to help your kid. That's how I view America. You got to take care of American citizens first.
Yep.
You know, and that's what's happening here. More native-born employment is happening. A lot of deportation. And I'm okay with that. I welcome all the legal. We are a welcoming country. Come here properly. Come here, do it right. We need to fix the H-1B, because right now it's about 35 to 45% of H-1B visas are given to entry-level jobs, and they're not supposed to. It's supposed to be given to jobs that we can't fill with Americans, and we have to import smart Indians like G.
They are the number one recipient. Usually highly skilled workers, and I believe the average H-1B Indian coming here makes about $150,000. So, that's
–
very highly skilled.
And even then, if that Indian wasn't coming in, that job would be about $200,000. So they kind of scam the poor Indian and create indentured servants in many ways. And the point is that I want to address you real quick is enough with your BS. Where's your compassion? I do have compassion for my fellow American. I do have compassion for that immigrant from Africa that's driving a taxi for the next 10, 15 years so he can afford to send his child to a better school to live the American dream. Towards my mom who worked in a factory to sit there and send money back to Panama to help bring her family out of poverty. I have compassion for illegals, but I'd rather see them sent back in these jobs given the American. And once we take care of our own, then we can work towards How can we help the rest of the world more often? But enough is enough, and we need to take care of Americans. Also, government jobs fell. So the foreign-born drop was about 240,000. Government jobs fell about 10,000. So I don't like this jobs report, but when I began to analyze it, hey, I am an America guy first. You know why? I come from a country with two dictators. Gene's parents will tell you the same thing about them.
One more point to make is a year ago, Biden had two months, I believe, of weak job reports. And then they went right back up after the Trump election. So, you know, these things are going to be seasonal. We haven't had a real recession. I mean, I'm not going to call COVID a real recession. We haven't had a real recession since 2008, 2009. We're overdue for one. You can't just keep going on like this. So,
right.
Unfortunately, if it happens under Trump, hopefully it will be a short one. But they're going to blame him. I mean, the Democrats are libertarians ready with their steak knife and fork ready.
There was already a Democrat. I can't remember his name. I forget these people's names. It was like a couple million followers. We are in a full blown recession.
I think it started a year ago under Biden. But you know, and but we'll see. We'll see how these things. The 2008 recession was called in December of 2008. That's when they identified it, or maybe it was October, and they identified it starting December 2007. So they had to go back almost the whole year.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah,
that's
we've
right.
Been in
that's
recession.
Right. That's right. That's right. And they wouldn't talk about it. Okay, let's rip through a couple of these in a couple of minutes here. We're at the tail end of our show. So real quick, G, the corporation CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is shutting down after their 1%. And $1 billion over 2 years is being taken out. Now, how does this affect NPR and PBS? More of the rural areas. Now, they're claiming, well, y'all are destroying local journalism. They're lying, G. Their local journalism is like the Morning Edition, the PBS NewsHour. And those are shows they have to pay for the license to do locally. So I'm okay with getting rid of all these PBS outlets, NPR outlets in the rural areas. I don't need the indoctrination, so I am okay with this. And I'm also proud of our system. Now NPR, now PBS, you can see if you can survive on your own, which if it's only 1% as you claim, you should have no problem. But I suspect they will have problems because a lot of those corporate donors, a lot of this, those are pushed by politicians. Well, you can always give the NPR or PBS, you know. Why? Because that was a leftist channel. Your thoughts real quick, G.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting money, no matter what you report, no matter how many people are watching or listening to you, you don't care what you report. You'll just put out your bias, and in this case, it's left-wing bias. But now if you have to sell advertisements, commercials, you need to expand your audience as big as you can, and that's where you get your money. I think that's the survival of the fittest. That's the way everyone else has to operate. That's going to force them to report more closely to the center, which is a good thing. And I think America will be better for it. If we're paying them, they're just gonna spout their opinions and right. They're gonna present it as no, this is unbiased journalism when it's really not.
Exactly. All right, G, talk to me about Kamala Harris. She is not running for governor. And I believe she's not running because she's not a lock to win the primary. She's that bad of a candidate. People forget she dropped out of the presidential race in 2020 right before the California primary, which as the California child or whatever the term they give the people in their home state is should have been a lock for her. But she was like in third or fourth place going into that. She dropped out. So she's not very popular here. And I don't think she wanted any setback. I think she learned from Andrew Cuomo. Yeah, oh, hell, man, this guy had a massive setback here, you know, because Andrew Cuomo doesn't know it yet, but his career is done. So I think she's skipping it, and she will be running for president in 2028. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I believe if she did run for California governor, she's going to get it. I mean, you and I live in California. We just know how people are here. They will vote for her. They like her giggles.
But
they
she's
like,
not running, though. She's not running, though, for California
governor. No. If she ran. But the reason why she's not running.
We disagree on that.
Yeah, we do disagree. That's why I'm saying that. I think she would win the California governor's race, primary general. But she's not running. Why? Because she said as of now or for now in her statement, she said, I think it was for now, she's stepping out of politics, right? Because she needs to basically not do anything until about December of 2026 when she can announce her bid. But what's surprising is that she didn't see the CNN poll. Yesterday, it said, who's the top Democrats? And who was at the top? Governor Newsom. He was at 20%. Kamala Harris, I believe, was fourth place with 6% support.
They're all bad.
She's way down there. And look, you lost to Trump, right? That the Democrats are looking at this going, you lost to Trump. This guy should have been beatable. He's the most beatable guy because he's a felon. He's Hitler reincarnated, grabbed them by the pee. I mean, all this stuff, right? And they can't believe that both Hillary and Kamala lost to this guy. How bad of a candidate could they be? But they're misreading it.
He's a female abuser. He beat up our Hillary and our Kamala.
I'm just telling you how they think, right? That's what they think. Yeah. And they're not because they believe all the lies that have been told about him. But so Kamala is not going to win the presidency. She won't make it out of the primary. And her fellow Democrats will sit there and beat on her saying, you lost the election and you gave us 4 years of Trump. So who's now giving us 4 years of Trump? Obama, Clinton, Biden, and Kamala Harris, 4 years of Trump in 2016, 4 years of Trump in 2024. And that's how the Democrats see it. She won't win the primary at all. She doesn't have a chance.
Right, right. I think we don't know who the nominee is. I don't think that person has been identified. It's going to be like a Trump-Obama name coming out of nowhere. And that's our show, people. Declassified documents expose Clinton, Soros, and Clapper's Russian hoax plot. Accountability will come for that scandal, and the mainstream media will have to cover it once somebody's indicted. And our hot takes, Trump's team rescued 13,000 kids. Trump's terrorists drove real 3% GDP growth. Kamala's out for California governor. We hope you have enjoyed the show. We came in, we hit hard, we hit fast. But before we go, make sure you hit like or thumbs up on this podcast and make sure you share it, and then bookmark GrumliesMedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify. Oh, it's under the handle Grumlies Media. So until next week, this is William Del Pilar for G Mangani and Fired Up. Stay safe, my friends.